Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 168, The Power of Corporate Prayer. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on January 17th, 2021.
Hallelujah. So welcome everybody on our live stream today. We're on live stream in a couple of different places, Vimeo. We're on live stream on YouTube, we're on live stream on Facebook. So praise God for you that are watching. We bless you in Jesus' name and we welcome you. God is an awesome God. He's a God of restoration, a God of love. Yes. And He created you to be a blessing. So let's go out there and do that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Today we're going to continue on our messages concerning prayer. We're in a season of prayer, as you have guessed. If you hadn't caught that yet, you should know it by now. This is a season of prayer, so prayer and fasting. And we're so glad that we can be part of God's answer instead of being part of the problem. Amen?
Amen.
So we have lots to look forward to this year. I mean, I know a lot of people are depressed and down, but you don't have to be.
Amen.
You can pick yourself up and look to Jesus, the author, developer of your faith.
Amen.
And just believe that God is still on the throne, because He is.
Yes.
And that He's not going to leave you or forsake you, because He won't. And you don't have to be afraid of what man shall say or do, because he's your helper. He is, and He will stay that way. And so you have a lot to look forward to this year, in spite of all of the stuff that's going on. So just put depression down under your feet where it belongs. Take the power of the blood of Jesus, the power and the authority of the name of Jesus, the authority of the Word of God that He's given you, and stand in victory. And pull some other people along with you.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. And if they don't want to come, just bring them kicking, screaming, dragging their feet, do whatever, just drag them in Jesus' name. Because God knows what's good for them, you know what's good for them, and they'll get over it, you know. Praise the Lord. So just be what God has called you to be. Praise the Lord. So today, I want to speak to you on the power of corporate prayer. I know some of the cell groups were talking about corporate prayer and what does it mean, and some of those things in our prayer Bible prayer study guide. By the way, I just want to encourage you to be a part of a cell, because the lessons that we're learning, if you got the first two or three of them down, that would set you for the year. You would walk in victory if you put those principles to work. They're simple principles, but it's like anything else. You have to learn it and have to grow in it. And with the case of prayer, you never stop growing. I mean, you can never, you can always have more powerful, more effective prayer if you seek the one who is the author and developer of our faith. And He will help you. He will bless you. He will walk with you. He will grow you in in His grace, in His favor. And as you learn those principles and put them to work, you will see amazing, amazing, amazing thing. Pastor Karen and I have been so blessed over the years, because at the very beginning of our walk with God, we learned these same principles that you're studying out of that book. And it has been good for us for 50 years of marriage. It's been good for us for 25 years that we've been here at MFH. And the years in between, before that, when we were traveling the world with Dr. Lester Sumrall, those principles were working for us, and we got to see a general, a mighty man of God, take the gospel to the ends of the earth. He traveled to, I think, more than 100 and some nations, and he wrote more than 100 books. He had dozens and dozens and dozens and maybe hundreds of messages that are still available on the internet, and left a legacy of faith and of prayer. So it was really an awesome blessing to be able to walk in those things. So where are we today? Well, Dr. Hagen says in his book, the book that we're studying in our cell groups, the Bible Prayer Study Guide, there is so much in prayer that every one of us could learn if we just keep an open heart to the Word and to the Spirit of God. Often in ignorance, we can hold beliefs about prayer that are not in line with the Word at all, but are really just the traditions of men. So the basis for all prayer is the Word of God. So if you want to find out about prayer, all you have to do is look into the Bible. So from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there are plenty of messages on the subject of prayer. There's plenty of instruction on it. But sometimes you have to connect the dots. In other words, look at various writers who wrote. Look in the context with which they wrote these scriptures about prayer, and then learn the principles that are behind those prayers, the kinds of prayers that they prayed, which is part of the reason for studying it in depth in the cell groups and for talking about it this month as we've made it our focus. But in both the Old and the New Testament, God's people lifted their voices in what we call corporate prayer, or you might call it united prayer. They were praising and exalting the God who created heaven and earth. And while some folks, they prefer, quiet, solitude in prayer, just a really quiet place, and there's nothing wrong with it. There is a place for that. There's a place for your prayer closet. There's a reason that it's called the prayer closet. I guess that's not really a biblical term, except maybe Jesus said, go pray in your closet where... Mm-hmm. Where nobody can see, and your God, your Father in heaven will see, and He who hears you in secret will bless you publicly. That's kind of a probably not so good paraphrase, but there's a place for that. So nobody's knocking closet prayer, but there are other kinds of prayer, and one of them is corporate prayer, or united prayer, or prayer together. Now that makes some people nervous, but God's not nervous. So he's not opposed to people being loud. The Bible describes what heaven will be like, and I think if you're really nervous, it might not be the place for you to go because there's going to be a lot of noise up there. And there will be angels that are singing holy, holy, holy all the time. And if you get tired of holy, 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 I don't know what you're going to do. It's going to be your problem, not God's. If you get there and you don't like it, I guess there's the knob on both sides of the gate. So you can probably leave. Maybe we can't think about, why would I leave heaven? Well, that's a good point. But it isn't prison, so probably if you want to leave, you can leave. So anyway, that's maybe another message, another subject. And maybe I'm meddling a little bit. But some people, they say, they prefer solitude, and they say, God's not hard of hearing. Well, he's not nervous either. So just get over it. It's undeniable that there's a kind of prayer, this kind of prayer, this corporate kind of prayer, united prayer, resulted in some really, really amazing things, some of which we'll look at today in this message. It preceded some amazing supernatural manifestations and events. So in the days that are ahead, it's really important that we not neglect the various kinds of prayers. Keep praying in your closet. That's a good thing. But there's also other kinds of prayers. Let's not neglect them, and let's see the glory of God come, because these types of prayer are made available to us to bring glory to God and to bring His answers to bear on earth. Jesus taught His disciples, in fact, to pray after this manner. He said, pray that my kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So when you're praying these various kinds of prayer, you're actually bringing the manifestations of God's kingdom here to earth. Sometimes people say, well, when we get to heaven, everything will be great. And yes, it will. But why would you wait to get to heaven to have the blessing of God when you can have it here on earth? Right. If His kingdom can come on earth as it is in heaven, I mean, Jesus wouldn't tell you that if it couldn't happen, right? Right. I mean, if He did, it'd be kind of foolish, right? If there's no way for the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven, then why would He ask you to pray for that? That would just be nonsense. So if it's possible to have manifestations of the kingdom of God here on earth, just like it is in heaven, why wouldn't you want that working in your life?
Right.
Why wouldn't you want that happening in your life? And if prayer is the secret, and corporate prayer is part of the kinds of prayer that God has given us, united prayer, prayer together, prayer out loud, prayer where people can hear, why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we risk offending somebody doing it? Why wouldn't we risk being a little bit uncomfortable if it makes you uncomfortable? I remember Pastor Karen and I, the first time that we ever attended a church kind of like this, it was in the basement of a pastor's home, I think. I think it was his home. Anyway, we were invited there by a friend of mine who had been praying for me because I needed a lot of prayer at that time because I wasn't living a very good kind of life and I wasn't saved. But he invited us to this meeting, and these people started praying in some kind of thing, you know, and they were raising their hands and they were loud and they were whatever, and I was looking for exits. I'm going, I don't know what this is, but this is not like my church. And I was a little freaked out, you know, by that. But he persisted and he kept praying for us. And subsequently, you know, some people came into our lives that led us to Jesus. And then we went to Kansas City, to a big stadium, Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, and met with 65,000 other people who were worshiping and praising God and doing that same thing we heard in the basement. And somehow it got on us. And here we are, you know, some years later, just doing the same thing because, wow, I mean, if you hear 10 people praying out loud and you compare it with 65,000 people praying out loud in a stadium, I mean, some of you have been in football games, basketball games, and here, you know, seen and heard some pretty wild stuff. It's wonderful when stadiums full of people praise God and worship God together. You know, sometimes in some of these videos, you know, that we are using for our worship time, it just kind of takes us back to those days when we were able to experience that in person. I mean, there's nothing like it. So as this comes back to the United States of America, when people get together like this again, just you find out a place like that is happening, get there. You know, my pastor used to say, you know, some people, they make it a lifetime purpose to miss every good thing that comes. He said, you know, the power of God can be moving in a church and they go to some other place. The blessing of God can be moving in an area and they leave and go somewhere else. But they just miss every good thing there is. So keep coming and don't miss anything. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So, types of prayer. One of the types of prayer is united prayer, strong prayer, corporate prayer, prayer together. In the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and chapter 7, and you don't have to turn there, but there are stories from the Old Testament that illustrate this. It was like in the temple, you know, the temple that Solomon built. They had strong united prayer. The Bible says that they lifted their voices to God along with the trumpets and the instruments that were there. You know, David was a mighty musician, and he imparted the love for that to his son Solomon. So when Solomon built this temple, he appointed musicians and people to blow the shofars, like Pastor Don blows here. You know, it's one thing to hear one of them, but to hear dozens of them or hundreds of them would be a pretty amazing sound, wouldn't it? Sometimes we've experienced that in Israel, that some of the festivals and stuff, when there are hundreds of shofars that are being blown at the same time, it's an amazing sound. And it's supposed to remind us of when the last trumpet, Bible says, sounds, the dead in Christ will rise. And those who are alive and remain shall be lifted into the air, and together we'll meet the Lord in the air. That's when the last shofar sounds. So if you don't like the sound of the shofar, I don't know what you're going to do on that day. I hope that you're rising with the dead in Christ, or that you're meeting him in the air, one of the two. But it's going to be a glorious day, and it'll be an awesome sound when it's not a human blowing the shofar, when it's God himself sounding the trumpet. So we have lots to look forward to. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So anyway, when they were raising their voices in those two sections in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and chapter 7, amazing thing happened. They were praying together. They were lifting their voices together. They were magnifying God together. And suddenly the cloud of glory, the glory of God came into the place. And it was so thick and so strong that even the priests couldn't minister. And the Bible says that they fell on their faces before God. They fell out in the spirit, I guess, is what we would say today. And the glory of God was manifested in a tangible way so that they could actually see the glory cloud. Now, in the Old Testament, when Israel was coming out of Egypt, the Bible says that the glory of God, or the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, was what led them through the desert. So it gave them heat in the day, or in the night, as a pillar of fire, and it gave them shade in the daytime as the cloud of glory in the hot desert sun. And that cloud would lead them when they would travel. So they were learning to follow the presence of God. And so when they got into the promised land, and when these other manifestations began to happen in the temple, it was a reminder of how God led them through the wilderness with his presence. So his presence is really important. And if prayer is what brings his presence, is one of the ways that brings his presence, a prayer and worship and praise brings his presence, why in the world wouldn't we do that? Amen. Why would we not do that? Now, I know that prayer meetings are often the least attended kind of event in most churches across America, but that might just be what's wrong with America. That might be the problem with America, is that people just haven't found that place of prayer and relationship with God where they can enter in a way that brings the presence of God, that attracts the presence of God to a place. So, you know, God doesn't live in temples made with human hands anymore. He's not in the Holy of Holies in Israel. The temple has been destroyed. Just the Western Wall remains. Someday it'll be rebuilt. There'll be another temple there. But until that time, you know, they can just go worship at the wall. It's an amazing experience. You know, you can go there and put your little prayer requests and things in the cracks in the wall. But that's nothing like these people were experiencing when they came into the outer court and then into the inner court to worship God, and then saw the presence of God manifest in such a way that the priests couldn't even stand anymore. They couldn't stand to minister. They couldn't offer the incense and the other things that they were doing. They couldn't blow the shofar or anything. Just the presence of God came in. So it's amazing what God will do and what he can do. So why wouldn't we want that? Why wouldn't we want to see that happen here in this place?
Yes, amen.
I mean, God's not, he's not changed. So his presence and his glory can come anywhere you are. I mean, it can happen in your prayer closet. If you've never had that experience, you should seek God, not just to have the experience, but to have the presence, to have his presence manifest in such a way that it's hard for your mind to wrap around it. Amen? Because God's a lot bigger than our little, you know, pea brain minds, you know. He's got a lot more than what we can ever take or stand even. But he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to manifest his presence for you. So let's be hungry for that. You know, the Bible says that people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, they will be filled.
Yes.
The ones that are not hungry and thirsty for righteousness, the implication is they won't be filled. So maybe another thing perhaps that's wrong in America is people just are not hungry for God. Yeah. You know, they're hungry for tacos. They're hungry for tamales. I don't know. I'm just preaching to Santos back there. But They might be hungry for a lot of things, but, you know, hungry for new cars and new houses and things, you know. But, you know, those things, they don't bring lasting pleasure. And, you know, they begin to disintegrate. You know, how many of you have had a new car, at least a new for you? And about the first week that you took it out, somebody, some nice, kind person parked next to you and took their door and went wham, right into the side of your car. Has that happened to anybody? And your beautiful car that you just took out of the showroom, or the beautiful car that's new to you and that you love because you just got this thing and now you've got 96 payments yet, but it's yours. It's yours, and now it's got this big dent in it. That's what happens to stuff. You know, people talk about evolution, you know, that the world wasn't created by God, you know, that somehow this stuff just came together, you know, and whatever. But everything around you says there's not evolution, there's devolution. It's going the other way. You know, you get the new house and it's nice, and then something happens and it's not nice anymore. It's not nice because people live in it and they mess it up, right? I won't say who those people are, but it happens, you know. So the reality is there are things that we could be hungry and thirsty for that won't be satisfying. You know, the Bible says, you know, don't gather together wealth in a bag that has holes in it. But yet, in a lot of ways, we live gathering stuff, putting in bags with holes. And remember, you're not going to take it with you either. If you pile it up, somebody else is going to enjoy it. It won't be you. It might be Uncle Sam, you know. But things like that are not worth living for, but God is worth living for.
Amen.
His presence is worth living for.
Yes,
so if you will just stir up the hunger inside of you. I know, you know, we're living in some different times, and there may be lots of things to be disappointed about, especially people, you know. Have you noticed people can be disappointing? Yeah, it's a fact of life. Sometimes it's family members, sometimes it's others around you, people at the workplace that don't understand you. They don't love you because you love Jesus.
Right.
And other things. They just don't get it. And life could be depressing, but it doesn't have to be, because when the presence of God comes into your life, all the depressing things have to leave. There's not room for both. There's not room for depression and God. The two don't mix. The demon of depression that's trying to take America down does not mix with the presence of God. So what would the cure be? The cure would be bring the presence of God. Bring it on. Amen. But it's hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's hunger and thirst for the presence of God that will bring those things. So I want to encourage you. This is not, 2021 is not the bad year that some people are making it to be. Will there be challenges? Will there be possibly troubles and problems? Of course. But what year hasn't had that? I mean, just name one year in your life when everything went just perfectly. Nothing went wrong. You remember a year like that? Was there a year like that? Was that the good old days? Wow. Thankfully, some of us got delivered from the good old days. No more hangovers.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No more headaches. No more head in the toilet. Jesus, help us. Hallelujah. I know God spared some of you this, but, you know, some of us went through it. So, but God is good. Amen?
Yes,
praise the Lord. So my point is that people lifted up their voices and began to pray in unison and began to glorify God together. The presence of God come into the place, and it can happen again. Lord, bring it on.
Praise the Lord.
So, and in the book, in the Bible, in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." Why were they doing that? They had just been thrown into prison. They had just been placed into stocks. And I can assure you, the prison that they were in the city of Philippi, was not like the prisons of today. The prisons of today would look like a hotel to these men. And they were probably in the worst place in the prison because of the treatment that they got. And they were not in a happy place in terms of all of the bruises and the cuts and the scars on their body that had been inflicted to them by the beating they took before they got placed in the stocks. But the Bible says here at midnight. Midnight is kind of like the, maybe in a way it's kind of symbolic of the crisis time in your life. The midnight of your life would be the crisis, maybe the crisis time. Now I know some people like to stay up late past midnight, whatever, and then sleep in, but and maybe some of you have to work through the midnight hour and so forth and so on. But I think this is kind of symbolic of the crisis time in your life. And Paul and Silas, they were in this place, not a happy place, no happy people around them. You know, people in prison normally are not happy people. Most of them don't believe they belong there in the first place. They've been placed there unjustly, they think. And maybe, you know, I'm not saying that some haven't been placed there unjustly. But it's not a happy place. If you know people who've been in prison, they can tell you lots of stories about how unhappy the place can be. But when you find Jesus in prison, your whole life can change. And the unhappy place can become the happy place if you know Him. But if you don't know Him, it can be one of the most terrible experiences that anybody could have. But Paul and Silas, they were praying and singing hymns to God. That was kind of a different thing for that crowd. And the Bible says the prisoners were listening to them. I guess you would be too, because if anybody else is, you know, going across the grain and doing something different, you'd be listening. And they were singing and praising God, and these guys are looking at them. They're in the stocks. Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? But they were doing it. And the prisoners heard them. Verse 26 says, suddenly, everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
Suddenly there was a great earthquake.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting in that narrative, it says nothing about anything else in the city being destroyed. So I don't know for sure. It's possible that maybe that earthquake only struck that prison. Because it seems like if the whole city had been devastated, maybe nobody would have even noticed that the prison got hit. You know, because everybody's got their other problems. But, you know, the people came to let Paul and Silas out a couple of days later or something, or the next day or something. They didn't mention anything about, you know, all this calamity has hit the city, et cetera, and now you can go. They just addressed, you know, you can go, because they found out they were Roman citizens. They shouldn't have done that. They broke the law. The governance, the governors, the mayor, or whoever, they broke the law. And they were worried about it. Because if this gets back to Rome, you know, our heads are in trouble here. So anyway, it says suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everybody's chains were loosed.
Yeah.
That's a pretty amazing event. So if a little bit of worship and praise and praying out loud and praying in unison, praying together will bring something like that, why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you have that in your church? Why wouldn't you have that in your house? If it brings the presence of God and brings a shaking and shakes all the nasty stuff, shakes the prisons in your house, shakes the prisons in your family, shakes the prisons in the church, shakes the prisons in the city. Amen. Why wouldn't you want that in your house? Hallelujah. So these are principles that we can learn. That there's a reason for doing some things. It isn't just because Cheryl prays loud that we pray. She's got a voice that doesn't need a microphone.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And she's using it for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Does that make you nervous? Well, just get nervous then. But when the glory of God comes in, you'll know that something happened. Yeah. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, excuse me. We just need to keep pressing into the things of God and doing what the Bible says.
Yes.
Let's follow the Bible. Okay, you say, well, this is just Pentecostal tradition to pray out loud and whatever. Well, where did they get the tradition?
Right.
They got it from the Word of God.
Amen.
Just like the folks who got pray in the closet from the Word of God. Nothing wrong with either. There's a place for both. So let's not neglect one and just do the other. So I just like quiet. That other stuff just makes me nervous. We can pray for you. That you get unnervous. Hallelujah. You know, the thing about this is it's just these two guys could do that. Just think what happens. What happened if you have a whole congregation of people? I know Jesus said, I think it was Jesus that said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. What did he say?
There I am
in the midst of them. So he's confirming that this works. So you want the presence of Jesus in your house? Get two or three people to pray in your house.
Amen.
You know, hopefully husband, wife, spouse, children, family members, friends, spiritual family. Bring blessing in the house and pray.
Hallelujah.
Just do it. Amen. See what happens.
Yes.
Just make sure your foundation is good. You know, if the house starts shaking, we don't want to have a collapse. And then they said, Pastor Harley said, do this, and now the house fell in on us. But let it happen. Let it shake your neighborhood. Let your house be known as the house that shakes when people pray. You know, in Azusa Street, many years ago, in the early 1900s, now over 100 years ago, when they were praying and when they were worshiping God in that place, in that little house on Azusa Street, even the fire department came out once because people saw fire on the roof. But the building wasn't burning. That's a pretty amazing sign, right? I guess people knew something was going on in that neighborhood. So when there's fire on your roof, we'll know you've been praying in there. We know you might have gotten out of the closet and gotten a couple people together, and you're just raising the roof. And fire's coming on your roof. Praise the Lord. And then Tim will be visiting your house because he'll have his friends out there with the fire hose. Praise God. Just duck when they shoot, you know. Just go. Hallelujah. So there's lots of stories about this happening in the Bible. Just turn to Acts chapter 2. Let's just go through a couple of these stories, and I'll show you that this is Bible that I'm talking about. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now that's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
To get more than two people together to be in unity, to be in accord, and to be in one place. I don't know how they did that, but they did it. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. That would be an awesome thing, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Then there appeared to them divided tongues or flames as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Yeah.
Now that'll make people nervous.
Yeah.
And some people in that city were nervous
right.
about that. It caused a stir. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. It was festival time, the feast of Pentecost. And when the sound had occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So here's another miracle. It doesn't say that these people spoke in those languages. It just said that everybody heard them in their language. That's a miracle, isn't it? So they might have been speaking in Chinese. They might have been speaking in some other language. They might have been speaking in the tongues of men and angels. And everybody heard them and understood them. Isn't that, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
You know, you have a guest speaker and nobody has to interpret. They just, everybody understands.
Praise the Lord.
And then it says they were amazed and they marveled, saying to one another, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, Egypt and parts of Libya, joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretans, Arabs. We all hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So it wasn't they were just talking. They were talking wonderful works of God. And they didn't even know what hit them. Because this was the first time anybody ever in the whole world, in the history of the world, had this happen. They spoke in languages they didn't learn. They heard in languages they had never learned. Wow. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Well, they were right in a sense. It says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you, and heed my words. These are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Yeah, they were filled with new wine, all right. It just wasn't the kind of wine that these mockers were talking about. And it shall come to pass, the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Is it still the last days?
Yeah.
Could these be the last days?
Yeah.
I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Some of you are seeing visions right as I'm speaking. Some of you are in La La Land and you're dreaming. And they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Haven't we had a few blood moons recently?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Maybe this is that time. Maybe this was just a picture of what's going to happen yet. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Praise the Lord.
Wow, won't that be a great day?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hundreds of thousands of people coming to Jesus at one time. Millions of people across the globe coming to Jesus at one time. Awesome. Verse 40 says, and with many other words, I'm skipping some of his sermons, great sermon. Many other words he exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. I guess we live in one of those too, right?
Yeah.
Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all those who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them all among all as everyone had need. So continuing daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Isn't that amazing? Every day people were added to the church. That must have been marvelous.
Yes, amen.
And just think where it started. It started when they all got in one accord in one place. That means they were having corporate prayer. They were having united prayer. It works. It still works today. If people would just do it. Praise the Lord. So what do we see in this? We see unity plus corporate prayer brings the presence of God. Isn't that amazing? And what was the result? Salvation, passionate commitment, miracles, generosity, joy, favor, increase, blessing. Who wouldn't want that? Why wouldn't we want that in this place? Why wouldn't you want that in your house? Why don't you want that in your neighborhood? That'll change your neighborhood.
Amen.
Your whole neighborhood could change just with united corporate prayer. But it doesn't stop there. In Acts chapter 4, there's another story about it. Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, they had healed this lame man at the gate called Beautiful. And when they healed them, not everybody was happy about it. Mm-hmm. Some of the religious leaders came against it. They didn't want anybody following this Jesus that Peter and John preached, because they were saying it's in the name of Jesus that this man was made well. So verse 18, Acts chapter 4, so I'm kind of making a longer story short, but it's a really great story. You should read the whole thing. Verse 18, it says, so they called them, this is the apostles and Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. You know, we live in a time when people say, well, you know, your religion is just nonsense. It's just a myth. There's nothing to it, whatever. But just think about it. Why are they so adamant that somebody should say a man and a woman in the Congress halls of our nation and not be upset about it? But if somebody would name the name of Jesus or pray in the name of Jesus, everybody would be upset. But there's nothing to your religion, but we just don't want you in. We just don't want you praying in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. If there's nothing to it,
right.
Why would they? Why would they be against it? Why would they care? If there's nothing to it, why do they care if people get together in church?
Right.
It's okay for the bars to have karaoke and other things, but don't sing in church because you might spread something. Yeah, you might spread the glory of God.
Amen.
Let it be.
You might lift the name of Jesus. Amen. So they're here. They called them together. But Peter and John answered to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you, religious leaders, government people, more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they glorified God for what was done. In other words, the healing of this man. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, verse 23, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Verse 24, look at this. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. That sounds like Acts chapter 2, right? And said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them, who by the mouth of your servant David said, why did the nations rage and people plot vain things? We could say that today, right? The kings of this earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your servant Jesus, your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and with the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now that's a prayer.
Yeah.
They didn't pray for protection. They prayed for boldness. They didn't know who was next to be arrested. And all this was new to them. But with one accord, they lifted their voice, the Bible says. Why wouldn't you want that in your church? Why wouldn't you want that in your home, in your neighborhood, in your city? And it says, and when they had prayed, the place that they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, all of them. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. I guess they were the answer to their own prayer, right? Isn't that amazing? Who would not want that? Now look at the rest of the results. Verse 32, and the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. That's a miracle. Neither did anyone say any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. That's a bigger miracle. I know some of you have never lived that way before. Pastor Karen and I did once for about 3 years. But to live that way, I guarantee you have to have the heart of God. Because it's like being married to a lot of people. And if you can't handle one person, you ought to think about handling a bunch. But it says that they had all things in common, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them all, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all were possessors of lands and houses, sold them. Look at that. It says, for all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to everybody as they had need. That's a pretty amazing event. That would take a move of God, right?
Yeah.
For everybody to be that unselfish. I mean, it was in the scope of history, it was probably a good thing. You say, why do you say that? Well, because in just a couple of years, Rome came and they destroyed everything. So everything that everybody would have had, they would have lost. And the Bible says in the book of Mark, in the 16th chapter, that they were scattered everywhere, and everywhere they went, they preached the gospel, and the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. So the proceeds from all that thing, they enabled them to have finances to go everywhere and preach the gospel. Isn't that an amazing thing? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you look at it and you think, you know, I don't know how people could do that. I'm not selling my house. I'm not selling my car. I'm not selling my stuff. I'm not dividing it up with anybody, you know. It's me, myself, and I, because if I don't take care of myself, who's going to take care of me? Well, who is going to take care of you? What if our nation falls? What if our city is destroyed? What if they start rioting tomorrow? What if they burn down all the churches? What if they burn down your house? I'm not suggesting that those things happen. I'm just saying it's happened in places.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened in many places. It's happening in places today as we speak. There are believers who have lost everything. Some of them because they're preaching the gospel. Some of them because their country, their nation is destroyed. So you should never think it can never happen here, because it could. So God is preparing his people. He always prepares his people for what's ahead. So here he was preparing them for what was ahead. And when they stepped into it, they were ready.
Right.
One of the things my pastor used to say about the modern day church is that they're never ready for anything.
Help us, Lord.
God wants to move in a city, people aren't ready. God wants to move in a nation, people aren't ready. But I think I think we're living in a time when we need to get ready.
Right. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So what happened here? Unity plus corporate prayer brings a shaking in the presence of God. So here we see it again. We saw it in the Old Testament. We saw it in the book of Acts, second chapter. Now we see it in the fourth chapter. What were the results? Answered prayer, boldness, increased unity, powerful, effective witness and generosity resulted as they did this. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. So do you want to hear more? Do you want me to quit? I can do more? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll just tell you this. And when you get home, read Acts chapter 12. It talks about Peter being in prison. An angel came and set him free from prison. And when he got out of prison, he went to a house. He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Mark, the writer of the Gospel. Mark, the writer of the Gospel of Mark, his mother had a house. So they went to this house. Verse 12 says, when he considered this, he came to the house of Mary, whose mother was of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So the angel had miraculously let him out of prison. I mean, that doesn't just happen every day in prison. You know, an angel comes, opens the gate, you walk past the guards, nobody sees you, you walk out in the street, you think you're dreaming. You think, how could this be? This must be a dream. But then you find yourself alone in the street and you're looking around, I'm really out. I was in, but now I'm out. And then he goes to this house, and it's a house where people are praying together, where there's corporate prayer. Mm-hmm. And it says that Peter knocked at the door. A girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself, little girl." But she kept insisting that it was, so they said, "It's his angel, it's his ghost." Then Peter continued knocking, and when they'd opened the door, they saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and the brethren," and he departed from this place. So what was happening here? Constant, earnest, corporate prayer brought deliverance. Why wouldn't you want that for your family? Why wouldn't you want deliverance for your family, for your home, for your neighborhood, for your city, for your state, for your nation? Right. Miracles were the result of that kind of prayer. So I'll close with a couple of things here. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication," that means earnest prayer, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amazing thing happens when you pray. You get the peace that you need. You get help from heaven. You get blessing from God. It's an amazing thing. And finally, what should we take away? What are we going to take away from everything that I said here? Philippians chapter 2, I think, describes it this way. In verse 13, he says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to fulfill his good purpose." It's God working in you. You can have this kind of prayer life with God working in you to will and to fulfill his purpose in your life. Don't you want that? Shouldn't we want that? Collectively, corporately, as a group, individually, shouldn't we want that peace of God to come into our heart? "Do everything," then it says in verse 14, "without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you firmly hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." And finally, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God." So I know I didn't read the rest of the armor, but this is the helmet of salvation and the sword of your spirit are your prayer armor. Verse 18, "Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, that means in your new prayer language, with all manner of prayer, that means every kind of prayer, and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of the saints, God's consecrated people. In the days ahead, it's important that we not neglect the various types of prayer available to us, including strong, united, corporate prayer. So let's pray. Father, thank you for these who have come today. Thank you for your blessings over them. Thank you for your precious anointing on them. And thank you, Father, for inspiring us to a prayer life that's beyond anything that we've had before. Wherever, whatever place each and any of us are, Lord, we ask you to take us to another level of prayer and faithfulness in prayer. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who has come to lead us and to guide us. As we look forward to this year, Lord, to the events of this year, Lord, to the meetings that we have together of this year, to the meetings with the Live and Goods coming up in February, we ask you, Lord, for a mighty move of your Spirit. We're thankful and grateful, Lord, for everything that you're doing for us and doing for our neighborhoods, our families, our city, our state, our nation. And we're grateful, Lord, that you do all things well. So let your presence fill our hearts, our lives, our homes, our workplaces. Let your presence fill our churches and ministries. Let your presence, Lord, fill our city, our state, our nation. Let your presence just cover the earth like the water covers the sea. And for it, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.